powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacey
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Ross.
Here we go now.
Joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, it's Ryan Divish of the Seattle Times. And Ryan, we finally have regular season baseball to talk about. So I'm not even going to start by being like, what do you think Jared Kelnick can do? Because we have a game to reflect on. So my first question instead is going to be one about the crowd. How was the crowd environment there at T-Mobile last night from the press box?
Man, it was crazy. It was really loud. You know, energetic. I think the anticipation for this opening day is the highest it's ever been. But, I mean, I've been covering this since really the end of 2006, and I don't remember a season where there's been this much anticipation. So I think everybody there was just so excited to see this team, and you could just really feel it. And then, you know, obviously late in the game when the twitchy James Karinchak was starting to kind of get rattled a little bit by the pitch clock and everything else, they could, you know, it was like, you know, blood in the water. They were going crazy. And big credit to them for recognizing that he was flustered a little bit. You know, I was joking with somebody, like one of my buddies, like it's when Russell could never remember the play clock falling down. And so the Seahawks fans had actually counted out for him. But yeah, it was not that, but those last few innings. And I think they were just really waiting for something to get them going. I mean, they were cheering the whole time, but like, you know, again, like the last time they were at that field, you know, there wasn't a lot to cheer about. And then there wasn't a lot prior to that either.
Ryan, how did you like the tempo of the game? It seemed extremely fast to me, but I enjoyed it. What were your thoughts?
I mean, like, as a sports writer, it's the greatest thing ever. You know, I'm like, oh, loving life there. You know, I did look down in the fifth inning, like, oh man, I probably should start writing. I have to have something to last out, and this is going a lot faster than I thought. Like, I think the top half of the first inning, Castillo took like 3 minutes. I swear to God, that first inning was so fast. So, yeah, it was crazy. I think people are really going to like how fast these games are and how quickly they can go. You know, it's a good pace. You know, I guess if you're a fan, though, you better grab two beers at once if you like to have beers. That stuff is, it's going quick.
Let's start with some offense here as well. Big night, obviously, from Ty France. The great news is Ty looked fantastic. The bad news is he was, you know, really most of the offense for either team. I don't think fans should be overly concerned. It's early. It was cold. It was chilly. The roof was open. But what did you make of the offense as a whole?
No, I thought it was fine. I mean, like, I thought their at-bats were good. Shane Bieber's really good. I mean, this guy won a Cy Young, and he's really tough, and he can really throw breaking balls. And the Mariners as a team don't hit breaking balls very well. So I thought it was fine. You know, I mean, like, something like, we don't know, we've, like, belabored it, but, like, Jared Kelnick, you know, he struck out the first time up looking, and it wasn't a good pitch, and he didn't try and, you know, I mean, it was a borderline pitch. He could have argued well, you know, shouldn't have struck out, but I thought that was progress. He gets another hit later in the game, get ground ball through. I mean, I didn't feel like they were overwhelmed by any pitching. You know, like, I there were strikeouts and such, but I thought they were competitive at bats. And the ball that Julio hit, a couple balls where Julio hit that, you know, in July, those are probably homers or extra base hits. The ball that Jared Kelnick hit the center, you know, in July when the roof's not open or whatever, those are probably doubles too. So, you know, they hit the ball hard. I mean, the Cleveland's got a lot of good pitching in this series, so I don't expect a ton of offense from them. But I do think it's big that for the Mariners that Ty France came out swinging and looks as good as he did, because he's such a big part of their offense. And when he was down last year and when he was struggling last year, it was really noticeable how lacking it was.
You mentioned the crowd getting involved with the pitch clock. What was the reaction when Brash set Ramirez down for a little nap in the batter's box?
I think people were just kind of like, what the hell just happened there? Like, you know, because it had so much movement, he swung. I think initially I kind of thought I might have hit him in the foot, you know, but it was crazy. And then once they realized, and then when they showed the replay on the big board, that's when people kind of went, oh, you know, like it's like you see the big hit or something like that. And so that was kind of what I thought that was pretty amusing, you know. And, I mean, this isn't the first time we've seen Matt Brash do that to somebody. I don't think it'll be the last time, but usually it doesn't happen to somebody like Jose Ramirez. He's pretty much under control in the batter's box and really knows how to hit. And, you know, that will hit, you know, tough pitches or pitches out of the zone pretty well. He looked really lost on that.
I'm so used to not talking about World Series possibilities with this team that suddenly talking about it feels silly. And yet I feel like we should start eventually, right? However, unlikely or likely it is this year, it's like eventually that's the plan. So you have to start talking about whether or not they're that team. When it comes to making a push that deep into the playoffs, what is in their favor so far?
Well, I think, you know, to get to where they want to go, you know, the pitching, the starting pitching is premium. You know, like that's how you win in the postseason. And that's why, you know, that's how they beat Toronto. And that's why they're competitive with Houston. And really, that's how Houston won a World Series. You know, they score runs, but you have to have really good pitching. The Mariners have that. Like, nobody wants to play them. You know, let's say the Mariners are the wild card team. Nobody wants to have to play them and face Castillo and then whoever else, if it's Kirby or Gilbert or whatever. You don't want to have to face those guys in a three-game series. So that's why, you know, getting into the postseason is a big thing. If you have a fully healthy starting rotation and your bullpen is, you know, normal, that's what is a separator for them. You know, the offense is what you need to carry it throughout the course of the season to get you there. If they want to win the American League West, they have to be better offensively. The pitching is what really changes it, though, in the postseason, pitching and defense. And they've kind of built around that. The Mariners have changed their philosophy a long time ago to get pitching. They're a lot more athletic in the field. You know, the days of Mark Trumbo playing left field or Mike Morris trying to play right field, those are gone. You know, like they put real athletes out in the outfield and guys that can run and do things. And that's how they're going to – I think that's what's made them successful.
Ryan, as you mentioned, the anticipation was high for the start of the season. One player I was looking forward to seeing is Teoscar Hernandez. Now, he did go 0 for 4, but what did you think about his at-bats?
I thought he was fine. I mean, you know, he's going to swing and miss some. That's just who he is. And Bieber is a tough match for him, a lot of spin. They weren't going to give him a lot of fastballs he could really drive. I felt like he fouled off a couple pitches that maybe, you know, mid-season he'll hit. But, you know, he'll be fine. Just the presence of him there makes a difference, you know, because yeah, it's somebody you have to, you know, if you're Terry Francona or whatever manager, you know, kind of like there are certain things. Like the first five guys with the Mariners, they're not easy outs. You know, you're going to know where Julio is in the lineup. And you're going to kind of know where Teoscar is because one swing of the bat from him can really change a game. So I think you'll be fine. You know, first game is never really the most normal thing in the world anyways.
Let's keep previewing the rest of this series. Tell us a bit about the matchup tonight and kind of, I guess, what's going to work for Seattle here.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know a ton about Hunter Gaddis.
I mean, like, yeah, neither do I.
So. Yeah, he wasn't supposed to pitch tonight. It was supposed to be Dr. Sticks, as they call him, Tristan McKenzie. But he, you know, felt some pain in his shoulder right before discomfort in his shoulder right before the last start. They shut him down, and he's out almost 2 months. That's a big loss for them. So I don't even know how much the Mariners know about him. Now, they have all the scouting reports, and they have the fancy traject hitting machine that they'll be able to simulate him. But, you know, really with the Mariners, it's just, like, I think for them, go out, have your normal at-bats, and, you know, for them, avoiding the strikeout is a big thing. Like, last year and the year before, they just struck out, and, like, the lower part of the order struck out a lot, and it just wasn't ideal. If you get, you know, put the ball in play. We've seen now with the lack of shifts and some of the rule changes, putting the ball in play is a premium, and I think that's kind of where they're at. We'll put the ball in play hard and go from there. I'm curious to see what Robbie Ray is really like tonight, honestly. Like, we saw how good he was during spring training. The velocity is up. The pants aren't quite as tight, though I'm sure they'll be painted on tonight. But, like, how does that translate over, you know? And Cleveland's got some good right-handed hitters, so it's going to be a test. And, you know, is that split finger a viable pitch that he can use tonight against some of their tougher right-handed hitters and see how effective that is? Because if he's kind of what we saw in spring training, which is more like the 2021 version of Robbie Ray, I mean, that's a really difficult or really tough starting rotation. I mean, it's already good even if you get last year's version of Robbie Ray, but if you get the 2021 version, the one that won the Cy Young, you're talking about two of the best starters in the American League fronting a rotation.
for the most part, the pitching was on point last night, except for Munoz. He struggled a little bit. I'm not worried about him, but did you see anything mechanically that was going on, or you think it was just one of those days?
No, just some pitches up. You know, he hasn't been in, like, a ton of, like, the save situations. He's pitching leverage, but, you know, Seawald had a lot of those situations last year. I think you'll see Munoz more in that role. But, you know, the guys he gave up hits to are tough hitters, and that's going to happen. And, I mean, it's the confidence with that two-seam fastball to use it in certain counts now. You know, I think the book is out on him. Everybody knows that slider is deadly. So they either go up looking for it, trying to punch it away from them, or going up just trying to, like, this slider's too hard to hit. We're just going to sit on a 100-mile-an-hour fastball and hit it. And the thing is hitters like Ramirez and even Josh Bell, who grounded out, they can hit a 100-mile-per-hour fastball if they're ready for it. And so that's, you know, he just has to execute a little bit better, but I don't think anybody's too worried about it.
All right. Again, we are speaking with Ryan Divish of the Seattle Times on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. We talked with, you know, Katie Griggs and Justin Hollander yesterday on opening day, obviously more of a sentimental day. And my conversation and question for you, Ryan, isn't about like the fan experience, right? Like your job is to cover the team, but covering the team also means watching baseball culture as it grows and develops in Seattle. Do you get the feeling that that baseball culture or the conversations around baseball have changed over the last year?
For in Seattle?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Because, like, what's changed is noticeable. Like, there were kids at the park before, but the amount of kids at the park now,
yeah,
and the amount of kids wearing Julio jerseys now, it's off the chart. You know, like, I mean, it was noticeable last year. Like, this isn't a new thing. Some people, oh, yeah, it's a lot of Julio jerseys now. No, this was last year. Like, they couldn't keep the Julio jerseys and the jerseys in the team store.
Yeah.
They couldn't keep up with the demand. You know, the number of people wearing hats around town, you saw it in the off season. Like, this started last year. The conversation started to change, partially because in the summertime, it's great. You know, people are out and about in Seattle doing things. You know, T-Mobile Park was always a good draw on the weekends when it was nice out anyways. It was kind of like just the place to go. But now with the team being good, like, and being relevant, it's the only place to go. And that's what shifted it. I mean, I think it started last year, the success in the postseason, the anticipation for this season. The conversation has changed. And the big thing about baseball is, you know, right now we have some other stuff going on, but come July, you know, there's nothing else going on in sports. And if you have a good team and it's every day, you get to talk about baseball every day. I mean, I know Bump could talk Seahawks every day if you had to, but like, this is how like a good baseball team can take over a city, because there's an everyday result. And it's funny, like, I was talking to my mom back in Montana, and it's comforting having the game on at night. She said, I don't sit and watch every minute, though. She said, like, I got to watch closer because the games are going by so fast. But she's like, it's just a comforting feeling having it on, hearing the voices, and, you know, you're making dinner or whatever, hanging out. And that's where a lot of people, it's like, this is what you do in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And now that it's good, more people are kind of getting into that feeling.
Yeah, I love that, man. I'll go out in the front yard. I'll clean my car, watch my kids play hoops, and have the game on in the background. It does something just for the feel. I can't wait till the weather gets better and baseball's being played. But I want to ask you about Ty France. Did he remind us, Ryan? Like, hey, man, I know Julio's getting some love. I know you got Teoscar over here. You got your pitching staff. But Ty France, man, he might be the glue to all this.
Well, yeah, I mean, he carried the team last year in April, when they weren't great in April, but when Julio wasn't hitting and then Mitch got hurt, it was Ty France doing a lot of it. And then, you know, Julio started to pick it up, but it was Julio and Ty France. And then when Ty stopped hitting, the Mariners stopped winning for a while, and they needed Suarez and a couple of the other guys to pick it up. Like, he is vital to what they do, because, you know, they're going to be careful with Julio. They're not always going to give him stuff to hit. And, you know, he's going to be there in that number three spot, and there are going to be opportunities, and they need him to kind of cash in. Like, this team, you know, they need to score four runs or more consistently, so the burden isn't on the pitching staff every night to be good, because that's how you burn a pitching staff out, is, you know, if you're not scoring runs and you're playing a ton of 2-1 games, well, that takes its toll. Now, they've been able to handle it the last 2 years, but that 2 years of buildup as well on those arms in the bullpen. So you want to be able to – they need some more of those 6-1 games. I mean, as a writer, I like those 6-1 games so we can get done early, you know, and write it quickly.
You think we're going to get a few more runs tonight? Maybe one of those games that's like, you know, Mariners rack up a few runs. Roof could be closed.
Yeah, if the roof's closed, I think they will. I mean, honestly, I think they can do something. And now, you know, one thing, too, is like if you can get the right guys on base, we saw it last night how easily Jared Kelnick stole second base. And that's off of Mike Zunino. I mean, like, Mike Zunino's hard to run on. I mean, I know he's not young anymore, but, like, he's hard to run on. And, like, Kelnick stole that easily. And, like, they'll put pressure on this guy, I think, tonight. And, I mean, the guy's not, like, totally inexperienced or anything, but I think they'll put pressure on him. So if the roof's closed, get some balls hard. Yeah, I think we could see more than 3 runs for certain.
I'd love to see that, not just for fans there at the stadium, but also for you, Ryan, so that you can start your recap early and get out of there. I think everyone would enjoy that. He's Ryan Divish of the Seattle Times, kind enough to join us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Ryan, thanks so much.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, remember, Stacey, it's always about me.
Yes, you know? That's what I try to remind people.
There might not be an I in a team, but there's definitely a me in team.
Yes, exactly. It's about Ryan, you guys. What does Ryan need? He needs the Mariners to get a couple runs so we can get out of there early. All right. Thanks, Ryan.
See you guys.
All right. This hour of Bump and Stacey brought to you by Muckle Shoe Casino. Let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacey.
Headline number one. Lost my place here. One of the weirder Final Fours ever. One of the weirder Final Fours ever tips off tomorrow from Houston. FAU taking on San Diego State. They'll face the winner of UConn and Miami. What's the real headline?
Which means the Pac-12 could be two games away from claiming its first men's national championship since 1997. Bear down.
Bear down.
Yes, I know that San Diego State isn't in the Pac-12, but maybe that's just yet. Not in the Pac-12 yet. Mm-hmm. And I think that we should just preemptively claim it. We are alumni of three Pac-12 schools. Schools that are actually staying here because we're not quitters unless the Big Ten wants you, Dub. You know what I mean? But that's a different conversation.
Big 12 coming for Arizona.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, it's a wild Final Four. Like, there is a world where we have, like, Miami, SDSU, FAU, and UConn. Is anyone actually doubting? Now, this isn't this game. It's the other between Miami and UConn. Is anyone doubting that UConn's going to win that one?
Nah, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
It's a wrap.
It feels like UConn, this is just kind of the coronation of their run here.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a wild stat from Roger Sherman of The Ringer. He said from 1985 to 2010, four teams seeded seventh or below made a Final Four. In the last 12 NCAA tournaments, there have been 12 teams to do that. So it kind of feels like this is almost the new normal in the NCAA tournament where we're going to see low-seeded teams make runs like this.
What are the biggest impacts there, do you think, guys?
Biggest impacts of why these lower
seeded
teams?
Why are we seeding more lower-seeded teams go further?
NIL.
Ah.
At least in the last couple of years, yeah. I think the talent pool is just
changing.
Better, too.
Yeah, closing the gap.
And I think that these kids aren't just set on going to Kentucky anymore. You know what I'm saying? They're set on going to these schools that have these rich histories. They're like, I'm going to do me, and I can get paid to go anywhere. So let me stay closer to home. Let me go play with my boys. You know what I'm saying? I think that's the shift that's going on, too.
I think there's also something to be said for these smaller schools where you see their starting five having played together all 4 years. There's a familiarity that you don't get with these big schools that see their best players
one
come
and
go. Yeah, come and go with regularity.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like if you're a star at FAU, you may be like, this is where I can win the most. Like, this is where we can potentially, you know, make a big push in March Madness. Like, I don't know if I'm going to the NBA. Whereas, like, you're the top high school recruit playing a year at Duke. Like, you know you're going to be drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two. Shohei Ohtani called his own pitches last night. Struck out 10 in the Angels' loss to Oakland yesterday. What's the real headline?
Angels finding new and creative ways to waste baseball's best talent.
Shohei's like, I'll do it on my own.
Hey, got this.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, sorry.
Shohei walks in, he goes, all right, here's the lineup for today, guys. All right, I got this. Coach.
Just chill. Shohei needs to pitch and then immediately run into the outfield to catch.
He does it all. And you know, when you have a talent like that, why not? You know, back in the day when quarterbacks used to call their own plays, you know, it's similar to that. If you have the talent, why not go ahead and do it? And I'm not mad at it. I would let Shohei call his own game for sure.
I read an article in Sports Illustrated that talked about the thrivers and divers with baseball's new rules. So it would be like, hey, bigger bases and limited pickoffs means Trey Turner's probably going to see, right, normally great at stealing bases, could see even more stolen bases this year. One of the biggest thrivers because of the elimination of the shift was going to be Shohei Ohtani, already an amazing player, but they looked at his stats over the last 3 years when we've seen even more increases in usage of the shift against left-handed hitters. And they were like, in a essentially potentially a final year with the Angels, Shohei could have maybe his best year or one of his best years, which is insane.
Yeah, it's wild.
To think that we could see Shohei Ohtani, AL MVP, not last year, year prior, as like potentially having a great year, even better.
Totally random. I can also point out that Judge went yard yesterday, his very first at bat.
Yeah, I know. It's
Come
annoying.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
He's going to clinch that AL home run title again.
He's on track for how many?
He's already leading the American League again.
Yeah. Well, he and Ty France. Did he get just one?
Yeah, he just hit one.
Just one.
Yeah. Just one home run.
Off night.
Not impressed.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number three, Anthony Richardson shined once again, this time during his pro day at Florida. What's the real headline?
But was it bright enough for pick number five? Did he shine bright enough?
Like a diamond?
Yeah.
No.
I like the comfort. Here's the thing. Every time I bring up, hey, could they take a quarterback at five? Could Anthony Richardson be a real possibility? Yada, yada, yada. We talk about it, and you'll have your scouting reports and your profiles on these guys. Without fail, I will see texts being like, this is ridiculous. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. Don't be stupid. They're all lying.
I don't think
that they have eliminated. I know we listen to Coach speak all the time, and we like try to parse the words and be like, okay, Pete. I truly think they mean it when they say we have not fully eliminated the idea of taking a quarterback.
No, I believe.
It's what the kids say. I don't think that's cap. Okay.
The kids love us.
Okay.
Okay.
Stacey's looking to Bump and I for confirmation that she got it right.
Yes.
I was like, oh.
Yesterday during the break, George Kirby joined us like a minute early, and I was typing. I'm on my iPad, so I'm texting, and I was responding to a friend. And I turned to George Kirby, and I was like, "Are emojis still cool?" He was like, "Sometimes."
He might be the most mature 24, 25-year-old I've been around in a while.
Yeah, definitely.
He carries himself like he's 30.
Very relaxed. All right, we are taking your calls in a little over 30 minutes. Obviously, we're going to be talking about opening day, talking about the Mariners, getting really excited here. So again, that's at 1 p.m. You guys already have the number, but I will give it out again. First, though, we're taking a look around the NFL. Don't go anywhere.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
All right, taking a look around the NFL, we're going to start in New York. Giants owner John Mara warned his head coach, Brian Daboll, coach of the year, about the fickle nature of fandom and of success. In an interview with Sirius XM NFL Radio, Mara said, quote, I mean, right now he's Bono walking around New York. Can I just interrupt myself to say when I read this in my brain for the first time, I read Bono and I thought, what's Bono? Who's Bono?
I probably would have read Bono.
Right? Steve Bono, the former Kansas City Chiefs quarterback.
Pro Bono.
Long time ago.
I think he means Bono. Actually, I think he is saying Bono and I'm misreading it. Right now he's walking around New York City and he's Bono. But I've told him, I've said, in this business, it doesn't take long to go from Bono to Bozo. So don't get your head too big right now. But he's been great. My question, what head coaches or even players have gone from hero to zero, from savior to villain, or just from liked to unliked?
You know what? Kyle Shanahan gets a lot of flack, man, because he has not won the big game. Sean McVay, if his team comes out, doesn't look good this year, he will be in the mix as well. Player-wise, the text lines hate Lamar Jackson, apparently, so I would say he went from a guy that people like to...
Yeah,
he's
a good
greedy.
One.
He's already rich.
Oh, Russell Wilson.
Russell for sure.
Russell's a major, major one. I don't remember how Matt Patricia was embraced. I did not hear good things about the end of his tenure. Not like personally bad, just that it wasn't the right fit. Though I don't know that he was wholly embraced there. Pete Carroll was kind of the opposite. I don't know many people that loved Pete Carroll when he came here. In part, it's just coming from USC. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just the nature of not liking the program or the scandal around USC at the time. Like, it was just a, you know, also in the Pac-12. Like, it was just, that's, well, then I think Pac-10.
Good old days.
So that was kind of the opposite of going from having doubts to people loving him.
What about Harbaugh?
Yes. Well, his, the end of Harbaugh's tenure in San Francisco, I thought was very controversial.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were plenty of people that felt that he should not have been terminated, or that relationship shouldn't have ended.
Gruden.
Yes.
Gruden for sure.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's through your own fault, through your own actions. Other times, it's just the nature of the job, and it's like a constant lesson about the NFL and reminders that, like, Curtis mentioned Brandon Staley is one, that Brandon Staley was like a darling for the analytics community that loved that he was really aggressive on fourth down, which, like, just disclaimer, people should go for it on fourth down more often. Like, that's, there are stats to back that up. But I understand why coaches don't, because we talk about it playing with house money. Coaches make those decisions with their jobs on the line and with the game on the line.
Stacey, you on the sideline, and it's fourth and two. You're on your own 37-yard line. You kicking that thing.
Well, what's the score? How much time is left?
It's okay. It's 10-7.
Situational.
10-7.
10-7.
3 minutes left in the fourth. Your defense is playing all right. Your offense is balling.
I might go for it.
You're not going for that. Guaranteed. Hey.
If I am beyond my 50, my defense is okay. I got 3 minutes left. I'm down by a field goal, and I know that I cannot make that field goal. And they have a good quarterback. I'm going for it.
Okay.
Like, this situational. There are some decisions that are, it's no easy decision, but easier than others, if that makes sense. Anyways, people loved Staley because he leaned into that a lot. And then he disappointed people because the Chargers have kind of been a disappointing franchise. So, like, again, that's the nature of football. The nature of football is that sometimes those decisions cost you, that health can hurt you, right? Like, Brandon Staley learned very quickly that the tide can turn sometimes not through your doing, but just that's how it works, which also makes you more appreciative of, like, the Carrolls and Reeds and Tomlins and Belichicks, where you're like, how? Have you been doing this for like 13, 14, 15 years? And obviously in Belichick's case, longer.
People poo-poo on Pete Carroll throwing the red flag. My guy's 50% for his career.
That's still wild to me. I couldn't believe that. You had that in four down territory for a while where I had to guess the most successful coach on challenges. I would never have guessed Pete.
It was Belichick in front of him, I believe. But Pete was up there, 50%.
I feel like Belichick's just got the numbers.
He's paying the refs, so he's doing.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it is. Someone said going for it because if you give up a first down, the game's basically over no matter what. Would you go for it if you are at 50, they're 48.
Mm-hmm.
They're 48, fourth and two. Let's say like 250 remaining.
Mm-hmm.
You're down by three.
Down three? It all depends on what my offense is doing. Is my O-line dominating?
Well, 10-3, they haven't been great, but also your defense has been great if it's 10-7, I mean.
It's so circumstantial, it's tough, man, because you could talk to your O-line and they could come back to the sideline and be like, look, we're dominated, run it to the right side, we got this, coach. Or they come to the sideline and be like, we're getting whooped, coach.
Yeah.
Put on the foot.
Yeah. Why do you think that coaches are in general more conservative than analytics would have them be?
Because you always want to give yourself
an opportunity. Because the numbers back up that you should go for it.
You always want to give yourself a chance in the end. And kicking it and relying on your defense gives you a chance in the end. But if you go for it on fourth and two and you don't get it, then you feel like you've lost it.
All right, I got one more story here. Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin met with President Joe Biden yesterday at the White House. Biden tweeted a photo of the meeting with the caption, quote, DeMar Hamlin's courage, resilience, and spirit inspired the American people. And what's more, he turned recovery into action, and our country is better for it. It was my honor to have him and his family here today. I will say this, Bump. I do not care about anyone's feelings about politics right now, since I know that that can get, you know, into heated debates and everything. period, this is how it is. Major figures make White House visits all the time. And Hamlin became a major and kind of symbolic figure. We came very close to seeing a player die on the field in America's most watched sport. Yeah. Like, millions of people watching live almost saw someone die of cardiac arrest on the field.
Yeah.
That leaves a cultural imprint.
Yeah, man, and you get a chance to meet somebody like that, even if you don't agree with politics or whatnot. I think most people will take that opportunity. Cue the text lines. I'm sure people are going to text that they wouldn't. But no, DeMar is, that was one of the scariest things, or the scariest thing I've ever seen on a football field, man. Seeing a young man drop like that, he's perfectly healthy. He needs to be celebrated, and it sounds like the Bills are working with him and trying to get him back on the football field eventually.
All right, you guys. We have a couple things coming your way still. So at 1:30, Kraken center Jaden Schwartz is going to join us. So we're going to talk some Kraken at 1:30 with Jaden. Obviously, what I need to know following. We're taking your calls at 1 p.m. Talking Mariners. I want to have a fun Friday conversation. I don't want to be too down today. I got a long day. I'm going to the game later. You know, sometimes negativity, as negative as I am, it makes me tired, Bump. So I want to be fired up. I need some fired up callers, okay?
All right.
You guys got to help me out here. My caffeine's running low. Let's go with just kind of what you loved seeing and what you're really excited to see for the rest of this series, okay? Which means we are going to continue that conversation. Should we do bold takes?
Sure. I'm down.
Yeah. Do you have 4 minutes to come up with the boldest take that you have about the Mariners and the rest of this series?
Got you.
Okay.
My buddy, you know, when you predict shutties, you know what I mean?
Okay, enough. No okay, thing. Enough bragging. Yeah, enjoy the victory lap. All right, so we're going to do that, and then why don't we let you guys do that too at one? That's all coming your way next. Don't go anywhere.
It's time for Bold Take Friday.
You know, normally we do this heavily during the football season, an impromptu Bold Take Friday for the rest of this opening weekend series between the Mariners and Guardians. It's Bold Take Friday. Now, here's what we're going to do also. We're opening up the phone lines. Do not call yet, but the number is 866-979-3776. We're going to open up the phone lines in 15 minutes, and your question is going to be, what were your first impressions of the 2023 season? That can be about the new rules. It could be about the Mariners. It could be about a specific player. It could be about the crowd. Whatever it is, your first impression of the 2023 season, just how you're feeling right now. And then, if you want, this part's optional, you can include your bold take after that. So we're going to keep, if you want to include your bold takes, open up for some bold takes. If you want to include some of yours now, you can text them in 866-979-3776. Bump! What is your bold take for Mariners Guardians?
My bold take is that Julio goes yard. And
boring.
He has a stolen base.
Okay, boring still.
And he robs a home run. So he's just going to show his athleticism. That's boring. He went 0-for last night.
Mm. You want to add something else on there?
That's not bold.
Why don't you
he
do
goes
like
yard, he robs a home run, and he steals a base?
Curtis, you only did that out of dad pod allegiance.
Baseball's a hard game, Stacey.
It is a very difficult
game.
It's a game
of failure.
But bold take is a very reckless segment.
It's reckless, huh?
Which is why my bold take is that after being saved in a scoreless game by Ty France's 3-run home run, the Mariners put up not 5, not 6, but 7 runs tonight against the Guardians.
Yeah.
Curtis, are you serious? You're just being rude at this point. 7 runs. 7 runs? Are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me?
Look who Cleveland has on the mound tonight.
It doesn't matter who Cleveland has.
By the name of Hunter Gaddis.
Yeah, he sounds great.
Hunter Gatherer.
He's got a heck of an arm.
Hunter Gaddis Gatherer.
Yeah.
His career ERA in 2 starts is like above 18.
Okay. You know what? Some people's are worse.
It's true.
7 runs. The Mariners allowed a no-hitter to Spencer Turnbull.
That was 2 years ago. That's a different
time.
I know,
but I'm just saying, like, the unexpected has happened. Seven runs? Are you kidding me right now?
Here's my bold take.
I felt like seven runs was bold.
You drink four rosés.
Oh, no, they're going to have to carry me
in 2 hours
out there.
That game.
They're going to have to.
Someone of Stacey's size cannot put back four. That's a call for bad time.
I imagine her in her chair, hat over her face,
sunglasses on,
head dangling to the left.
They're like, it's the top of the third. What's going on? I haven't even had drinks yet. I'm just really tired. It's a really long night. Bump's take is 5 times more bold than Stacey's. You guys are haters. Nothing but haters. 7 runs. You know what? I don't care. When the Mariners hit 7 runs tonight, I'm still going to brag about it because it's a very specific number.
Okay.
They're going to directly on the dot. What if they go above 7?
They won't. It's going to be a 7. Well, right. It's going to be a 7-4 win for the Mariners.
You know who you remind me of right there? You know the water boy when his girl tells the coach to score? Because that's what it's going to be.
Curtis, do you have a bold take?
My bold take, is it for tonight or for the weekend?
I did for this. Well, Bump
for the series?
Yeah, it can be. I said for the series, both Bump and I chose for tonight.
My bold take for this weekend series is, look, Jared Kelnick got a base hit last night, got a stolen base. I think by the end of this weekend, Jared Kelnick goes yard not once, but twice in this series and makes one heck of a play out in left field, whatever
okay.
that might be.
That's a good one. You're going to give yourself the horn. Okay. Can I edit my bold take? 360, Stacey, the robbed home run alone is less likely than 7 runs. I'm editing.
You got influenced, huh?
The Seattle Mariners tonight will hit for not one, not five, not eight, but 10 runs. Come on, 10 runs. Right. I'm sorry, but 10 runs is absurd. Double-digit runs in baseball is always rare. I don't care if it's the Yankees playing your parents' friends in softball. No, actually, that would be funny. That's incredibly bold. I don't even believe that anymore. All right, let's get to some bold takes from listeners. As a reminder, we're going to be talking about our first impressions from the 2023 season. There are all kinds of avenues you can take. You can talk about baseball's rules. You can talk about players. You can talk about Jared Kelnick. You can talk about Julio. You can talk about the Mariners. You can talk about feeling like this is a World Series team or still having some questions. No matter what it is, we're opening up phone lines coming up in less than 10 minutes. Your question is just your first impression of the 2023 season. You are allowed to tack on a bold take if you want at the end, but I'm going to read a couple off the text line right now. Bold take. Now, I said for the series 360, but I'll allow it. The Mariners won't dip below 500 all season.
Wow.
That's pretty bold.
It is.
Pretty bold. When's Logan Gilbert's day? Is it game 3?
It is tomorrow.
So that's the game Bump's going to. 253, bold take. Logan Gilbert throws a no-hitter.
I hope Michael? So, because I'm on pre and post for that game.
I would love that.
Do you think it happens?
It's going, as Young Jock would say. It's going down. Let's go, Lolo.
Bold take, Stacey makes another edit to her bold take in the next 5 minutes. No, I'm sticking with 10 runs. Okay, thank you. Let's see. Bold take. My bold take is after this series, the Mariners as a team. Mariners ERA. I skipped the word. I was like, wait, I'm confused. Okay, my bold take is after this series, the Mariners ERA as a team will still be 0 through 4 games.
Wow.
A total shutty series.
4 shutties? A quad shutty?
No way. That's absolutely not 206. Absolutely not.
Bob Stelton couldn't handle himself with all those shots.
This person says we should make a bet on my 10-run bold take. Can we make donut bet for Monday?
10 runs tonight?
Dude, 10 runs tonight. 10
it's
runs,
not going down.
10
you
runs
want to
tonight.
Make that bet?
10 runs tonight. I'll make that bet.
It's not going down.
I believe in it now. Okay. Out of spite. 10 runs tonight from the Seattle Mariners.
The Mariners.
Tonight.
Tonight.
If it doesn't happen, I will bring donuts in for us on Monday when we recap the entire series.
Waiting for tonight.
Oh, Okay, you guys. Today's Pizza Hut pitching matchup is Robbie Ray versus Hunter Gaddis, soon to give up 10 runs here. Wow. If you miss any part of the show, make sure you're subscribed to the Bump and Stacey podcast. The latest Seattle sports news is available right on your phone every single weekday, wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify, Google Play, Apple. Rate, review, subscribe. We'd always appreciate it. You're listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. And you know what you got to do now? You got to pick up that phone and call in, because we are giving you a mic and your question is easy. You only got to be a Mariners fan to answer it. What were your first impressions of the 2023 season? Pick up the phone. The number is 866-979-3776. Your first impression of the 2023 season. If you want to add on your bold take at the end, you can. I will warn you, Curtis is a tough judge. You may not get a bold take horn, so just be ready for it. That's next.